Man, what a monster game that was by LeBron.
Which we've seen over and over again. Jaylen Brown gets in, flushes hard with the left hand. And on a night, LeBron James becomes the NBA's all-time leading scorer against the Boston Celtics. He drops 44. And the Eastern Conference Finals, once a best of seven, is now a best of three. Cavs get game four by a final of 111 to 102. The best of three begins Wednesday night in Boston.
All right, this is how we're going to start. We'll get to Brady and all that stuff in a little bit. But Celtics lose game four last night in Cleveland. We will get your reaction and ours. You can join us at 617-779-0985. Anthony, your
thoughts? Good,
you? Yeah, Peachy, your thoughts on the game.
So I've been giving this some thought, and here's the conclusion I've come to. You remember after game one, LeBron sat there like the pompous, smug dink he can be, and he sat there and he said, you guys know how it is. I need game one to sort of feel it out a little bit. That's how I do it.
Feel out process.
I'm starting to actually believe it. And I think LeBron has figured out Brad Stevens, at least through the first four games. Now, whether Stevens changes something in game five, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what happens. But to me, LeBron's got it figured out now. And the Celtics now have to make an adjustment.
You mean all that, just that switch on Rozier? That's it?
I don't think it's just that.
What else?
I told you that I thought that story on The Athletic was pretty revealing, written by Jared Weiss on The Athletic, where he sort of breaks down X's and O's. You know, in the first game, they were dumping the ball into LeBron in the post. Now they're not really doing that anymore. If they're doing it, it's on the wing or it's out top. And so it just gives them so many more options and gives LeBron so many other places to pass the ball and creates a different issue for Rozier on these mismatches and all of it. And I'm starting to wonder, now look, the home court, all of that's a factor. Okay, all of it's a factor. But LeBron right now looks to me like a guy who's got all the answers. He looks like the Tom Brady of the NBA. He's got all the answers, man.
You're laying on thick there, kid.
A little bit.
What do you think, Murray?
Well, if it wasn't for the job, I would have tapped out after a good 10 minutes. Really, after the first shot by Al Horford that didn't go in, that was a bunny, which led to a run of...
You would have turned it off right there?
Oh, yeah. No.
Oh, you are such a baby.
Yeah, you know how drastic I can be. But they go 4 for 14. That stretch of four shots go in out of 14, please. And then Morris gets his second foul just like that. I was like, all right, we're good here. I know how the rest of this night's going to go. Now, granted, they fought, and credit to them, they made it a more competitive game than they did in game three. But, you know, you're going to get Kyle Korver that wide open time again. Same for J.R. Smith. Like, defensively, they look like a completely different team on the road. Jaylen Brown, I know he finished with 21, 22 points, but for the most part, especially defensively, a minus player. Terry Rozier, please, someone call up and tell me again how Terry Rozier would be just fine with Terry Rozier here. We can trade Kyrie Irving this offseason because we don't need Kyrie. Terry Rozier is just as good a player. Please, he was putrid last night. Defensively, offensively, with the offense running through him, blech, blech, ugh. If it wasn't for the job, I would have turned it off after 10 minutes.
That was a crappy game.
It
awful.
Was, I agree, yeah.
And I'm not talking about the first 2 minutes when Horford airballs or, you know, chucks it off the backboard from a foot. It's just, I don't know.
Uninspiring.
Gummy, uninspiring, way too many fouls. I didn't even realize it, but that thing, how long was the game? It was like almost 2:45 or something.
I mean, it was brutal. Ugh. It was a tractor pull. Absolute tractor pull of a game.
So, I mean, I didn't think it was a great game on top of it all, but what else am I supposed to chalk up other than home court? In other words, the Celtics missed, the number I saw was 16, but people have been saying 15, so either way, either 15 or 16 layups or dunks.
Correct.
Are they going to miss 15 or 16 layups or dunks at the Garden?
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, you could say that
are they going to get that many?
That was the difference in the game. I mean, just right there. Make those layups.
So that's what I don't get. They get that tight and that is scared on the road. Oh, the Quicken Loans Arena. Oh.
And it's so annoying. And it's so annoying. Like, it's just like, oh, okay, we're in our gym. I guess I'll make it. Or, you know, the 50-50 balls. All of a sudden you go on the road and lose 50-50. Kyle Korver diving for a ball in front of you. Doesn't happen here, but it happens there. Why? Is it any different? Like, the NBA, man, I hate that thing about the NBA. Like, I'll do it here, but I won't do it there. Why? The ball's still bouncing right there. You can just dive on it there, too, but you don't. Like, ah, feh. But, I mean, you tell me, well, like, The Celtics are going to make those dunks and layups at home. The Cavaliers aren't going to contest as much as they did in Cleveland on defense. Cleveland was a different team defensively. Why? I guess because they were in their gym. So, but they won't be in their gym for game five, but they will in game six. Now, you know what's going to happen. They're going to go here in game five. Cleveland's going to face some adversity. They'll say, screw it. We'll see you back in Cleveland for game six. It's going to be another 12-point game. And then we'll see in Cleveland for saying game six. And then the Celts will get down, miss some bunnies, and go, eh, well, we got game seven at home. We'll see you there. And there'll be another 13-point game. And I'll see you Sunday night. Like, I mean, why should I think it's going to be anything other than that?
Well, so I hate that part of it, too. And look, I'm not telling you that. I have no idea what's going to happen in game five. I couldn't possibly predict. But I'm telling you, if you think Brad Stevens is more important than LeBron James, you're out of your mind. Like, I can't believe there are people that actually believe that. When you watch these games, what was LeBron from the floor in that game? Ultimately, I don't even know what the final number was. It was something ridiculous.
17-28.
Okay, and he was, and I looked it up this morning, in the paint, 14 of 17. He went to the rim. He didn't take a lot of jumpers. He was firing the ball all over the place, and some of the turnovers weren't even his fault. Guys couldn't catch passes. Kevin Love under the basket, like all of it. So I just think, you know, the Stevens aspect has been a little overplayed, and when LeBron takes the game over, he takes the game over, and that's it. The home court thing bugs the crap out of me, too.
Ugh.
Bugs, because honestly, it sort of defeats the purpose of talking about it.
Yep, what's the point?
But I do think that LeBron has sort of figured it out. So my question now is, can Stevens come up with something, a wrinkle, that LeBron does not expect?
Well, where are all those callers after game one who said it wasn't about LeBron not giving effort, it was Brad Stevens, he has the formula? Where'd all those people go?
Oh, they've vanished because LeBron has taken those formulas and shoved them down their throats.
Wait, so you're saying that LeBron in game one wasn't fully engaged?
Correct.
Oh, well, what happened to all the people that called us after game one and said you're being negative and, you know, this is about Stevens and the Celtics' philosophy against LeBron? It's not about LeBron.
They're gagging on the formula that's being shoved down their throat.
Where are you people? 617-779-0985. What happened to Stevens' system against LeBron?
So, and like, again, I sort of was, I went over that Athletic story, and I keep mentioning it because I think if you have the time and you want to read it and go through the video of it, there's pretty good analysis and breakdown of how Cleveland's playing it now. Okay, it takes a while. So if you're a basketball fan, you don't want to invest the time, don't waste your time. But I will say, when I sort of went back and looked at it and really restarted and stopped the video, and then you listen to Stevens' words after the game last night, don't you think there's a little bit of resignation there in Stevens?
Can you give me an example? We have some Stevens cuts for
you.
Yeah,
so Jimmy, play the one where you say you've got to pick your poison if we have that cut. I know I'm throwing this at you like literally on the fly, so forgive me.
Well, he's going to.
But you know, I hear Stevens talk about, he was asked about the switches on Rozier. And like, is there a way to compare?
Stevens on Rozier switches, Jimmy, should be the one.
Yeah.
Well, he's going to go after whoever he wants to go after. But at the end of the day, we've gone through it a lot. I think one of the things that sometimes we all get consumed with is the points he scores on that switch. If it's 8, but it keeps you from rotating and you don't, can still guard the 3-point line, then sometimes you just have to pick your poison.
So the reason I broke that up, out too. So are the Celts just conceding that LeBron's going to get on Rozier and get 2 points?
Basically.
I mean, that's sort of what he's saying there.
Yeah, and I think that I sort of took that as Stevens throwing up his hands in some regard, as if to say, well, what do you want me to do? He's the best player in the world. He's probably one of the 5 greatest of all time. Maybe definitely one of the 5 greatest of all time. So how am I, the coach with my little stupid whiteboard, how am I supposed to stop him? I can drop all the X's and O's I want, but if I got a guy running across to pick up a guy behind the 3-point line and LeBron gets the ball there faster than I can get my guy there, I'm hosed.
It's pick your poison. You can double him. You can double him. They don't choose to double him. They accept those switches too easily, I think. Too easily, where they allow Rozier on him. But they could easily flash another guy there, double it, and get the ball out of his hands and make someone else make a wide-open shot.
Yeah, see, I don't think you're getting the ball out of his hands, though. That's the problem.
Of course you are. LeBron will absolutely find the open man.
Okay, but again, he'll find the open man. Yeah, he'll find the open man. But the way you said it, I thought you meant get the ball out of his hands and they'll run it through someone else.
No. You'll double him. He'll find the guy that you came off of, and he'll hit him for an open shot, and now we're sitting here watching to see if George Hill, J.R. Smith, Kyle Korver, etc. can hit a wide-open shot in the Garden.
And if the Celtics do that, they'll lose. They will. If they're wide-open shots, they will lose.
How about if they let LeBron get to the rim like he's been getting to the rim?
Okay, I still take my chances on that.
I mean, last night he got to the rim.
He did. I thought it was his best game of the series by far. And I know he had 7 turnovers, but it was his best game of the series. He was an absolute freaking force.
I'm with Maz on this, and you saw it last night. When you leave guys like as much as they can be erratic and they're bums at their core, but guys like Smith and Korver, you're going to leave them that wide open? They're going to hit those shots, especially
in Boston,
at home.
They will?
At home they will.
Korver will. I don't know about J.R. Smith. He's a mental case to begin with. You know, that guy's likely to crap his pants.
The jack wagon.
I just think that, I guess what I'm saying is, ultimately, that's what Stevens is left with. He's got to say, well, now what do I do?
Well, like, how about you play Marcus Smart instead of Terry Rozier?
It wouldn't surprise me if you see that.
But then again, watching Marcus Smart play basketball for me, and I'm a fan of Marcus Smart, but I do want to stick forks in my eyes. I want to stick a fork in my eyeball. Watching him come down the floor and launch that three on 2 straight possessions, and I think on the third, Stevens called a timeout, like, I can't let you keep doing this. I think that happened once. Did you see Marcus Smart's behind-the-back pass underneath his own basket? It was a scramble, and he tried to go behind his back underneath his own basket right to whoever, Tristan Thompson, for the easy layup. I mean,
remember that.
The turnovers he had, oh, my God.
I particularly like
I'd rather stick needles in my eyes.
I literally stick needles in my eyes watching him. He is much better defensively, and they won't get exposed on that switch as much.
No, I particularly like the one where he dove to the floor, got the ball, and then threw it out of bounds.
Threw it right to Brad.
No, that was good.
Lines.
Yeah, that was,
yeah,
that,
right
that,
to
was
his ankles.
that was well played. So it would not shock me if they went to Smart in the next game.
You know, even with all that atrocious basketball I watched from Marcus Smart, he was still only -4, which just boggles the mind because he made so many bad plays, so many stupid shots and bad turnovers. I'm writing it down, and then but when you look at the end of the day, he's only a -4.
Yeah,
which I don't get. But, but that's the Marcus Smart paradox there.
And Rozier was a +3. How do you make sense of that one?
I can't understand that.
So the worst guys on the floor last night were Ojale, Tatum.
Too early in the game, Ojale.
Morris, Brown. Those, based on plus-minus, right? Forget Ojale. We don't even include him in the discussion.
Well, why is he in there in the first quarter?
Well, so good question. Yeah, good question. That one to me goes on Stevens because he's looking to do something different with LeBron, I guess.
Jaylen Brown loses his matchup to Kyle Korver? What?
Pathetic.
Okay. Doesn't happen in Boston. That's just another one of those things. Like, okay, in Cleveland, I'm going to let this ham and egger beat me, but not at home because I'm in my gym and I'm like a 6-year-old who needs to be in his own bed with his own ga, his own whoopee. I've got my blanket. Like, they're just children. You get them in their bed, they're fine. You have a sleepover, they start crying. Like, God, what is that in the NBA?
It doesn't tell you really how soft and brittle the players in that league are.
God!
The large majority of players in that league are soft and brittle. And there's only about, 8-10 of them that can actually go on the road and win a big game.
I feel so much better. If Cleveland won Game 5, you won Game 6, and now you really don't know what's going to happen in Game 6. Like, that's what I'm rooting for almost. Like, just to break this pattern and renew my faith in that there's actual... I don't know. It's not just what gym you're playing. But anyway, there's a lot of different things to talk about with this game. That's where we're starting with you right after this.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Well, has the ball slapped away and stolen clean by Horford. Here's Tatum running up the back of Thompson. Elevates, going for the monster dunk, and he missed it. Off the back iron. Fans love it. Cavs get the ball back. Up by 4. Here's LeBron driving on Morris. Goes under the shoulder. Scoops it up and in. Scored. And a second foul on Morris. Rebound Kevin Love. Long lead ahead of the field looking for LeBron. It gets to him and he scores off the window. Perfect pass by Kevin Love.
Holy. What a play that was.
Tatum kicks all the way out to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown switches to the right hand. Goes around Korver and misses the dunk. Just when you thought the first quarter couldn't go any worse.
Woo.
Marcus Smart knows it, lobs it ahead, way too far for Horford. Bad, they'll probably call it a shot attempt, but basically a turnover from Smart. LeBron, great lead to Tristan Thompson for the two-hand slam. And nobody has surgically carved the Celtics apart the entire season the way LeBron is right now.
He's on a mission.
Rozier turns the corner, attacks the rim, Thompson waits for him, and blocks the shot. LeBron steps around Tatum, into the paint, finger roll up and good. Big swing. Celtics just can't get close.
Yeah. I mean, had the opportunity again.
LeBron has Rozier on him on the switch. Shot clock down to 8. LeBron, they run away from him. He takes the 3. Good night.
Unreal.
Cavs get game 4 by a final of 111 to 102. The best of 3 begins Wednesday night in Boston.
Boston is a city that you've seen some highs and lows in. What do you most look forward to going back there?
It's a hostile environment. We understand that. We know that. There's no love in there. If you ain't got on green, if you don't play for that team, if you don't bleed green, they got no love for you. So we got to come out with a bunker mentality. I understand it's just us. It's going to be a great atmosphere. They have not lost a game in the postseason yet on their home floor.
Thanks to Jimmy Stewart, as always, for putting that together. Your reaction to Game 4 last night in Cleveland. Bobby in East Boston, lead us off, Bobby.
All right, guys. Here's your caller that wants to say it. Brad Stevens sucked last night. What is going on with this switch with Terry Rozier? It's going to be the death of me. I'm just not understanding. Why do we have to switch over J.R. Smith and George Hill to get to a mismatch where he's gotten LeBron, or even worse, Tristan Thompson, looking like a kindergarten on a high school kid? It was embarrassing last night with the coaching decisions in the first half defensively. I just don't understand it.
So they did adjust in the second half. Rozier would do the switch, and then they'd scramble, like they'd run Horford from the other side or Baines from the other side. Like they'd run a bigger guy from the other side, right? And Rozier would scramble back, which Cleveland could easily defeat if they just got into their action quicker, like right after the switch, you know, do something. And then the Celtics would be sitting there with their Schmenzer in their hand. I thought they gave into the switch too easily. Like, you could fight through some of those screens, stay on your guy. I just thought, oh, there's a screen. Okay, now I'm on LeBron.
So remember, though, earlier on in the playoffs, we were talking about how the Celtics could switch off the defensive end. There's no mismatches, and here you go.
Thank you for bringing that up. Right, I said that's why you're not Philly. You have no one that you can pick on. And Rozier you can pick on.
Absolutely. Yeah, and look, so the answer is smart. The answer is it's smart. But the problem is you give up stuff at the offensive end, and they're already worried about their ability to score. So I don't know, maybe the answer is Rozier at home, smart on the road.
Jimmy,
it's sad, but you got to play it that way.
Stu, how'd you feel about Coach Stevens last night?
I didn't like how Brad reacted last night. I thought Brad got outcoached by LeBron last night. I thought it was embarrassing.
Such a good way to put it. He got outcoached by LeBron.
George and Methuen. Go ahead, George.
Hi, Mike. Hi, Matt. Hey, Jim. I want all these green teamers, clowns, that were calling last week trying to trade Kyrie Irving and Hayward for Rozier and all these people. That was a big-time game yesterday, and those kids didn't show up. Irving, he shows up all the time. That's why we brought him here. That's why those guys are here.
Yes.
And I don't want them to go nowhere.
That's why you have superstars. Because sometimes you just need to turn over to one guy to get you through a rough stretch, like Cleveland did last night in the fourth quarter when no one could hit. LeBron stays on the bench a little too long, I thought. Came in and then missed some shots, but then, you know, then just took over. And that's what happens. I thought Gary Washburn made a good point of pointing this exact same thing out. Washburn pointed out that the quartet of Tatum, Horford, Brown, and Smart started the game 4-for-25. 4-for-25. He says, what has been painful to watch is that Tatum and Brown have both been exposed in certain ways, and they both miss layups and dunks that could have drawn the Celtics closer. Either way, the Celtics have prided themselves on balance, but when a handful of their players all struggle simultaneously, they don't have an answer. They don't have a LeBron James-type player to rely on. That ended when Kyrie Irving was felled with his knee injury, and that's sort of the deal. Like, it's great to be balanced, but if you're just off, you're on the road or something, in the NBA, you typically got to have that guy who can just
put his head down and go to the basket,
get his own shot, and just, you know, defeat anything that's going, you know, just take over on his own.
Right, and I say put your head down and go to the basket because that's what LeBron does. But Irving beat someone off the dribble and drain a three. Just someone to stem the tide, stop the momentum, and they don't. They don't have it.
We've got Greco in Charlestown. Hi, Greco.
Hey, Maz. How are you? Felger, long-time listener, first-time caller. I love your show. Listen every single day. My point is, though, this is about matchups. You need to get Morris out of the starting lineup. You need to get Baines in. That way, Horford can win the matchup against Love, and Tristan Thompson now has to defend Baines. That will solve our problems.
Okay, why would Cleveland take Tristan Thompson off of Al Horford just because Baines is in the, you know, find some other matchup.
What? Yeah, look, to me, I think the matchups get overplayed. Because, again, what happens is you...
So what the caller's saying is, and who would they play on Baines? You couldn't play Love on Baines, could you? Too much of a physical mismatch? Or like, are the Celts going to pound the ball inside to Aaron Baines?
I doubt it. But, and look, Love doesn't like being under there. So that's, you know, like, I don't know how Cleveland would handle it. But at the end of the day, you can dictate matchups in the NBA on offense. You know, it's not like a lot of other sports where you can dictate them on defense. You can dictate them on offense. And LeBron is smart enough to identify where the mismatch is going to be. This is the problem now. So again, if we're taking the home court element out of it, and we all know that once you come into this building, J.R. Smith's going to turn into a jackass again and do something stupid, and then we're probably going back to Cleveland 3-2 Boston.
You won't be hearing from George Hill, and you won't be missing 15 dunks or layups.
But it does feel to me like LeBron has identified how he's going to attack this thing now. And so the question is, does Stevens have something else up his sleeve? Is there another thing he can go to? And this is what happens when you get into a long series. Right? If you're a coach like Stevens, you say, well, we start here. Then they're going to adjust. So what am I going to do at the end to win it? What am I going to do? What am I going to have up my sleeve at the end to win it? And I'm just fearful now that he doesn't have anywhere else to go.
Let me slip in a quick baseball thought here. Frank in the car, what do you got?
Hi, guys. Great show today. Tony, I know you've been, I'm switching gears to the Red Sox, but I know you've been taking a lot of crap over JT Martinez versus Giancarlo Stanton, and I actually think, yeah, I respect your opinion in the baseball arena for sure, and I think you're right. I think in the long run, Stanton's going to be the better player when you compare him directly with Martinez. My point is Martinez more of a bridge power strategy for the Red Sox? Give them 2 to 3 years, and they're really looking for that Martinez plus a player to be named later, like a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado.
Frank, can I jump in?
Sure.
I think they're reluctant to sign that contract.
So do I. That's why they didn't get Stanton.
And also, they were willing to do it with David Price, but I don't think they want, you know, 10 years, whatever, you know, 10 years, $295 million, whatever Giancarlo Stanton had there. And that's what's going to take for Harper, Machado, the rest of those guys.
Oh, yeah, a lot more than that, too. So in the case of Price, I just don't think they had any other alternatives. They had no choice. He was the, you know, it was either that or another pitcher on the market they were going to pay through the nose. They didn't have anyone in the system. They were stuck. And so now we have no other options. In the case of Giancarlo Stanton, they had J.D. Martinez. So they were able to say, all right, well, instead of paying 10 years and 290, we're going to pay 5 years and 110. Like, and look, it looks like they made a good choice. This guy is a lineup changer. There's no two ways about it. I think I was looking it up this morning. 9 of his 15 home runs have gone to the opposite field. And he's not playing in a bandbox in terms of right center field and right field at home. So the guy's power that way is legit.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Brad, what's the messaging you give your players going into Game 5?
It's best 2 out of 3 to go to the NBA Finals. Doesn't get better than that. I mean, ultimately, you know, anybody that didn't think this was going to be tough, I mean, everything is tough. And, you know, in this deal, it's a blast to have to grit your teeth, get up off the mat, and go after it again. That's part of it. That's part of what makes these guys on both sides special. It's part of what makes the Western Conference team special. They're able to do it. They're able to block out everything that doesn't matter and go compete. And that's what we'll go do.
Sorry, welcome back to the program, Brad Stevens. So what can he cook up? I obviously that thing on defense he's got to figure out where Terry Rozier is exposed on LeBron James. Terry Rozier gave up 22 points to the man he was guarding last night. That's a crack. 22 points on 10 of 13 shooting. Most of that was, it felt like LeBron. I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but he gave up 22 points as primary defender on 10 of 13 shooting. So that's got to change. So that's, you know, that's one, and it started to change in the second half. Again, they started running different guys onto that matchup. On the other end, I still feel like it takes too long for Tatum to get involved. Now, you know, the game before I was complaining about Tatum and Brown not taking enough shots. Jaylen Brown got enough shots. I think he started 1 of 9. He's on Kyle Korver, and he can't win that matchup. That's not on Brad Stevens.
No, that's bad.
That's Jaylen Brown, man. You've got to What? Because again, you don't have your whoopee. You're not in your own gym. You're not in your own bed. You're not in your own crib. So you suddenly let Kyle Korver block you three times? You've got to be kidding me. But when we get home, ah, welcome to the jungle. Ah, you're going to dunk on him? Like, it's just so dumb. Like, it's just so childish. I can't take it. But there's just no excuse for that. You know, it's like Kyle Korver beat you on that end of the floor. So that's not Stevens' fault. But Tatum, how many shots did Tatum have in the first quarter or the first half?
Three in the first quarter. He was 0-for-3. And in the first half, Tatum was 1-for-5.
And then
no three-point attempts.
And what did he end up? Did he end up with your leading score?
Tatum ended up with, give me 1 second as I scroll back to the final stats. He ended up with 17 points. He was your second highest scorer. The top was Brown, who had 25.
I just feel, I don't know, what's your top offensive option right now?
Tatum.
I mean, it changes on a nightly basis, which really means you don't have one, but if you had to pick one.
Tatum. I mean, you know,
isn't he your best pure offensive player?
And he feels like he's almost at times, especially when he's against Thompson in the paint, like a couple of steps behind making a decision, like drive into him. Like it just almost feels like he's tentative, or maybe credit to Thompson and his experience is outweighing the youth of Tatum. It just feels like there's something off there.
I mean, people say Horford's the most important offensive player. The offense goes through him. He tried to be more assertive yesterday.
Tatum's their best scorer, though. That's how I would phrase it. He's their best scorer, the guy who can get his own shot on his own. Brown's good, too. The two of them, really. But to me, I look at Tatum, and I thought Tatum sucked last night. Both ends of the floor. Sucked. He was bad on defense, too. Let's not delude ourselves into that one. So, and look, this is part of the thing. I think they're getting a little confused there. Now, maybe it's the other arena, and they lose their nerve in that building because Tatum's a rookie and Brown's 21. Like, I don't know. But I thought he sucked in that game.
And between him and Rozier, they dribble too much at times. It's like, come on, either pass or make a decision. Like, you're just letting the clock run down too much, and it's counterproductive.
You know, they pointed this out last night in the broadcast, too, right? The first possession, they went right to Horford.
Yeah, and he chucked it off the backboard from a foot.
He only took one other shot in the quarter. So, like,
wow, it felt like he was more...
I know. I mean, so that's the thing. It's like you look at it and you say, well, okay, you start that way. We're going to make a point. We're going to get the ball right to Al. Here you go. Then he only takes one more shot in the quarter. Well, what the hell's the point of that? I'd rather you not give it to him on the first possession and him take six shots in the quarter. Like, if you're not going to stick with it, if you're only going to do it is to sort of throw it out there, well, that's dumb. You have to commit to it.
So we're talking on the offensive end that, you know, if they hit their layups, they score in the paint. You know, it's a ball game. If they just make their dunks, for crying out loud, it's probably more of a ball game. The Celtics missed 15 layups or dunks. Did you give me the number of points in the paint?
In the second half, the points in the paint for the game were not that were not as lopsided as a lot of people would think. So in the second chance point, I gave you second chance points. I didn't give you paint.
So
for the game, it was 50-38 Cleveland.
Yeah, but I thought the Celtics shot a horrid percentage in the paint early on in the game. Either way, offensively, again, you just make your dunks, you make your paint shots, your layups. That's probably more of a game. Defensively, what's he going to do? And again, post game, was there some resignation on Brad Stevens? We'll play those two cuts again, Jimmy. You can start with Stevens on Rozier switching. Pick your poison. That one.
Well, he's going to go after whoever he wants to go after. But at the end of the day, we've gone through it a lot. I think one of the things that sometimes we all get consumed with is the points he scores on that switch. If it's 8, but it keeps you from rotating and you don't can still guard the three-point line, then sometimes you just have to pick your poison.
So that's interesting. Like, they're just conceding that. Even Terry Rozier. Do you have the Terry Rozier cut? You know, Terry, what do you do when LeBron switches on you?
You're asked to do a lot on those switches with LeBron. What do you have to do on those defensively?
Help you miss, really. No.
Do you relish that challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
So, here, just stop. He said, I hope he misses.
Yeah.
I'm never running NBA player sound again.
Oh, it's the worst.
Whether it's balls bouncing in the background or guys just not wanting to talk. No, the coaches. Well, podium sound.
Podium, sorry, yeah.
I'll put it to like that. Podium sound. Sorry, Jimmy. Yes, I will still be throwing podium requests at you.
Hope he missed.
Hope he missed. You get that?
Put the microphone in front of his mouth next time.
Just put it right in his face so you can hear him. God, these stand-up interviews with the NBA guys between the mumbling and I'm not going to speak to you or the bouncy ball in back.
Like, hold it like a slice of pizza.
It's pointless. Oh, my God. Rozier said, hope he misses.
Hope he missed.
Okay, so is that just resignation? Here's Stevens on LeBron being the best in the game at getting what he wants. Podium.
He's the best in the game at evaluating the court, and figuring out what he wants and where he wants it. You know, you just have to battle. You just have to make it as hard as possible because he's going to find a matchup that he ultimately wants. And you have to, again, not let the other guys go off, and which we did again a little bit, and then make sure you make it as tough on him as possible.
It feels to me like they're not going to do a great deal differently with LeBron James.
No, I like your idea of Smart. Smart's really the way to go because Smart can body LeBron at the very least.
Yeah, get in his head, you know, just drive him nuts, the whole thing.
And also, he can
start,
you know,
flopping around out there like he did again last night.
And he's tough.
And the stupid refs will buy it at home because the whole crowd will be crying. So, like, get into that thing.
I mean, Rozier's going to get bulldozed. Like, I don't blame him for saying, I hope he misses. What else is he going to do? I could guard LeBron as well as Terry Rozier, for crying out loud. Like, he's got no hope. There's no chance. And so, but I do sort of agree with Stevens that, like, you know, we focus on the points LeBron gets when a guy's on him. I know I do. Let him get him. Give him the two. Like, I would stop trying to, you know, run around and switch guys over. And if LeBron gets it, let him get the two. Give him all the twos he wants. Because I think once those other guys get involved, that's when you've lost. LeBron went off in game two, but none of the other guys got off, and the Celtics won the game. I would rather them approach it that way. Just if he gets on Rozier, leave it.
C's Cavs, back to your reaction after this. And again, one of the most inexcusable facets of last night's game we'll get to as well right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jaylen Brown pulls up, gobbled up, blocked by Korver.
Korver with the block shot there.
Korver does have length. Now Jaylen Brown, up fakes on Korver. Start and stop, attacks the paint, gets to about 8 feet away, misses again. Offensive rebound, gets in close, blocked from behind. Out of bounds, it goes off Jaylen Brown, who misses another in-close opportunity, and the Cavs get it back.
I'm not sure if Cal Korver didn't block that one from behind.
That's two blocks for Korver. Jaylen Brown attacking Korver, slaps down to the ball, knocks it away out of bounds. He thought he had knocked it off Jaylen Brown. He did not. Celtics will keep it with nine to shoot.
Cal Korver's done a nice job again.
Yes.
Extended the hand this time, catching that basketball before Brown's able to bring it up.
Kyle Korver, three blocks on Jaylen Brown.
Isn't that embarrassing?
Give me a break.
Embarrassing.
And it's just something...
It just tells you that Brown's got a little ways to go yet, too.
And it's never going to happen here. And now you know how this goes. Brown's going to be hearing about this for three straight days. You let that guy block you three times, Jaylen? You're going to be hearing that for 48 straight hours.
You know who used to do stuff like this from behind? Michael Jordan.
He's going to hear crap about Kyle Korver for 48 straight hours. He's going to come out on Wednesday night, and he's going to dunk on the kid. He's going to, you know, I mean, you just know how that's going to go. He's going to do it early, like, because he's home, and that's going to be the response.
See, you know what? Part of me just hopes that the game is different, like, and that there's actually a competitive game where the visiting team gives significant resistance.
Yes.
Early in
Please.
The game.
I would love it if Cleveland won game five, you won game six. Then just like you won in each other's buildings, then you go into game seven where you really don't know what's going to happen. And the pattern's broken and it's on the merits of the game and not the gym. But Jaylen Brown getting swatted three times by Kyle Korver, please.
Kyle Korver can't even get off the ground.
Holy smokes. Okay, back to your thoughts. Here's Jordan in Rhode Island. Hi, Jordan.
Thanks, guys, for taking my call. This one's for Portnoy and all his delusional army of green teamers who think these two games in Cleveland were flukes. Yeah, LeBron had 44, 5, and 3 on 60% shooting, but he had 7 turnovers. Not happening again. Kevin Love had 9 points and 5 fouls. Not happening again. The GOAT's next best player had 14 points off the bench. His name's Kyle Korver. Not happening again. Oh, and Felger, as for that weak refs argument that you just referenced before the break, you had one more free throw than the Cavs. You got all the calls. J.R. Smith didn't even touch Terry Rozier. So cut the crap and lick the knife with the home cooking excuse. This is over. Experience wins. Momentum has swung. Cavs in six. Oh, but don't worry. No shame in losing to the best player to ever touch a basketball. Marcus Smart's a dirty bum. End of story.
Not dirty. He's just a faker. And take up your issue with Portnoy on your own time. What? I'm not the Portnoy receptacle. Or conduit. You do that on your own time. Go on whatever social media thing you're doing and do that with him.
Yeah, you'll see him on Nantuck.
Yeah, you can talk right to him on Twitter.
I don't know what he's talking about. The thing about we didn't even mention the officials. Was there a promo that just ran about officials? I don't know what he's talking about. The officiating, I freaking hated because it took up my time. How long did that third quarter take last night?
Forever. And in fact, you know, at one point, I thought that the officials helped the Celtics out last night.
Well, I think you just mentioned it, a foul on Rozier on a three-pointer where there was a whiff. Was it J.R. Smith? Whoever. Looked like he reached in and got his elbow, but got nothing but air.
Correct.
And
they missed him completely.
Gave him three free throws.
And I also thought that they made a point of getting Love out of the game. Like, I just felt that, you know, it's okay. So Cleveland sort of got a huge hand up in the situation here. So, you know what? We're going to get Love off the floor. You know, and they picked on Love and they got him off the floor because he's the second best player on that team. And they're not going after LeBron.
There was even a... Right, exactly.
So I look at it and say, okay, well, they're trying to even this out. And for a little time there, I thought it worked. And I'm talking about the officials now. Like, the Celtics got within eight there in the third and fourth quarters.
Oh, and I have a two-word explanation for that. Jeff Green. Do you watch this guy play basketball?
He's horrible.
Do you watch this?
He's an embarrassment. Do you watch
him?
He is horrid. He is horrid.
He has shots that never get above the rim. Like those line drives that he chucks into the bottom of the rim. Do you notice this guy?
Yeah.
Pay attention to how long it takes him to process. He'll get the ball on the wing, and just the amount of time it takes for him to think about what he's going to do with it. That guy is a freaking embarrassment to the sport. Painful to watch, that guy. I think that's who came in when Love went out.
I think that's right. And I remember looking at, I don't have the metrics in front of me right now, but I was looking up some of the defensive metrics. He was the worst defensive player on the
floor. Oh, he sucks. Oh, does he suck?
He is brutal.
Oh, you suck.
So bad.
Get off my television. I can't watch you. I can't. You are an affront.
Someday I want someone to ask Danny Ainge what he saw in that guy.
So that's a whole different story. Green's gotten worse, if that was possible. He's gotten worse. Oh, does he blow? Jim and Beverly, go, Jim.
Hey, Mike. So, Mike, the way I look at this now is tomorrow night isn't game five. It's game seven. Because if the Celtics don't win tomorrow night, and I'm not confident like some people I'm hearing, this series is over. They're not going back to Cleveland and stealing one. Not with the game on the line.
Well, they don't have to.
House.
They don't have to.
And the other thing I don't like is, what are they, 9-0 at home now in this playoff series? 9-0. They're bound to lose sometimes, and I'm afraid tomorrow night's the night.
Okay, babe. See, the whole thing is they don't have to win game
five. No, he said, though, if they lost game five. He said if they lose game five, they're not.
Oh, I'm sorry. Like, why am I backwards on that? Yes,
yeah,
you're right.
He said they're not winning game six. Right. So if they don't win game five, it's over. And so, look, I happen to agree. I don't think the Celtics can win on the road, which is why at the beginning I leaned Cleveland. I thought Cleveland is going to win a game in Boston. But you know what? After watching them poop their shorts the first two games, I don't know if that's going to happen either. The only guy in this series... The one guy in this series who's not really fazed by the crowd is LeBron. That's it.
Yeah, that's the way it's always been.
But I can see the Celtics,
after these last couple of games, the way that they've played out, the momentum is all on the Cavs side now heading into game five.
And
I can see them getting tight.
Can I give you another Cavalier who I would feel confident in if I'm them?
Korver?
No, Tristan Thompson.
Oh, Thompson's a good one.
I mean, and, you know, so, but he doesn't, he's not out there shooting three-pointers or doing that sort of stuff, but I think he brings a consistent level and does the same things roughly every night that you can bank on home or road.
There's a genuine toughness to that guy.
Yeah,
and I mean mental more than physical. So I'll give you that. I see that in Thompson too for sure. I don't see the Celtics having the capacity to go on the road and win. Not in Cleveland. And just after this, they get their doors blown off both games.
Jerry in Providence, go ahead, Jerry.
Hey, so I just want to give. I just want to tell you guys, I feel like everyone is being really hard on the C's right now. And I feel like that this series is going to take another momentum swing when they go back to Providence. And I'm just ready for the C's to take over. And, you know, you guys got to give them a little bit of a break. If they made their shots in the paint and they got killed on the offensive boards, they're getting killed out there. They cannot get an offensive rebound. But I feel like everyone's switching on Brad Stevens, and we need to get away from that because this team does not even have a superstar in sight.
And so, look, can I just stop you, Jerry? Thank you for the call. If we're going to step back and do like a whole assessment of the season, yes, you're right. You're right.
Yes, all aboard.
Is that the sad train whistle?
Kind of how it sounds this morning or this afternoon.
But so, like, okay, fine. Yes, you've done a lot since the injuries, and it's been, on balance, a very positive year for you. You took another step forward. Got it. You're also up 2-0 in a series. in which you blew doors the first two games, looked like the better team, and oh, by the way, in your franchise's history, you've never lost a seven-game series up 2-0. So at that point, it's okay to expect and want a little more. And so that's where you are now.
This series is trending, by the way, as one of the biggest choke jobs in Celtic history.
Is it really a choke if you lose to LeBron James?
Yes. You're up 2-0.
No, but this team it isn't. No. No, but this team it isn't.
I like the take, though, Jimmy. I like it.
Yeah, don't give it up,
yeah,
Jimmy.
Right. Keep it.
But look, the caller mentioned the offensive rebound. He's right.
Is Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love, and those guys are tough.
I mean,
there
was that one sequence, and I have it in front of me right now. Halfway through the fourth quarter, the Celtics had gotten to seven. Seven. Baines missed a free throw. The Cavs then came down. Korver missed a three-pointer. The Cavs get the rebound. Smith missed an 18-footer. Kevin Love get the rebound, and then Love tipped it. Love missed a tip, got the rebound, and put it back in with another tip. Like, they had four cracks at it. Four cracks, and they knocked it back up to nine with 6 minutes to go. Like, and then to that, after that, basically, that was, you know, I'm going to say pretty much it. I think the Celtics got it back down to seven one more time. But you could have had the ball with a chance to get it to five or even four, and then a lot of those butts in Cleveland are going to tighten up a little bit, and all of a sudden you're not going to be able to make the shots down the stretch if you're the Cavaliers. Like, you know, I thought that was a big spot, and they gave him four shots. Four to make one, and they did.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.